Hallelujah. God inhabits the praise of his people. In other words, he comes in. He draws near to you when you lift up his name in worship and praise. Amen. You know, even when you don't feel like it, oftentimes you may not feel good. Something may be going on. Don't let that get in your way. Just push through. Push through the pain, the sickness, whatever's there. What you need is get in God's presence. More than anything else, we need God's presence. Just have an announcement. The next Sunday is our picnic day. We will not have Sunday school, but church will start at 9:30. Very good. One service, 9:30. We're going to have a baptism service after when we go outside, and we're going to cook hamburgers and hot dogs and just enjoy each other's company. So really want you to pack this place out, invite your friends. Let's run out of food, okay? Amen. Today is Mother's Day, of course, as you well know. So we want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mamas here. And we can honestly say we wouldn't be here without you. And for years, we have tried to do a little gift for the mothers, and we've bought flowers, and then we've bought candy bars, and it seems to go flat. And so this year, what we're doing is we're going to draw some names for some gift certificates. And so we drew one from this morning. It's Pat around. Pat got the names. She's probably expecting me to do this at the end of the service, but we're going to have another prayer time at the end of the service. And so, Trevi, you want to come forward? Yeah, that Pat will do. Just any old Pat will do. Okay, I'll draw the first one. Arthur Lodge. Arthur, come on, man. Oh, it's Wanda Lowe. I'll let you draw the next two out. You're welcome. Congratulations.
Hello.
Here we go.
Christian Hovis.
Christina. Sorry.
Christina
Hovis.
Christina Hovis. Over there. Awesome.
Happy Mother's Day.
And the third one. Roxanne Allen.
You might want to count that and see how many times Roxanne's name was in there, too. You can keep it. This morning we have a special day. It's Mother's Day, and we're celebrating it just a little bit different. So we're going to bless you three times. We got three speakers, and that automatically makes you worry a little bit, doesn't it? We'll get you out of here on time. But the first speaker is Treva, and so she is going to speak, and then Carla is going to speak, and then I will wrap it up.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. This is not my cup of tea, as you all know. The only thing worse than doing it once is doing it twice. No, it's okay. Motherhood is so dear to my heart that if I'm going to speak and it's on mothers, I'm okay. I can do that. I'm glad we have a day set aside to honor all you precious women out there. I said in the first service because y'all weren't here. It's hard to do it twice because you feel like you're repeating yourself, and then you have to think, wait, they weren't here. So some of you might have been, but you know, we have a day set aside for National Pizza Day or National Ice Cream Day and Groundhog Day. So I think it's awesome that we have a day to honor our mothers. With that said, I'm also aware that it's not always a happy day for people. Maybe you're missing your mom today. Maybe you've lost children. And I just say, my prayer is for you, that Jesus will hold you close, that he will reassure you that he loves you and that you can make it, all right? So, you know, the only reason I agree to do this, and I was nice in the first service, okay? I really don't need to be this time. The only reason I agree to do this is so that I get the microphone and he doesn't have it, okay? I owe him so much, big time. I owe him. And they love it already. We have some hecklers. This is great. The hecklers are not heckling me. They're heckling him. This is awesome. Oh, me. First of all, I just want to get this out of the way and tell you that moms often fall for a huge trick from the enemy, and that is comparison. I've done it. We all do it. I wish I could be a mom like her. I wish I had it all together like her. I wish my kids were like theirs. Don't do it. It's nothing but a trick from the enemy, okay? Roosevelt is quoted as saying, comparison is the thief of joy. Quickest way to destroy your joy is to try and compare yourself. And the Lord tells us anyway in the New Testament that when we compare ourselves among ourselves, we become as fools. So just don't do it. You just be you. You be the best mom you can be. And Jesus will redeem what we're lacking, okay? We're not, any of us are good enough. None of us. We need the Lord's help, and he does help us. So, you know, I just know that behind every kid, every great kid, there's a mom that feels like she's messing it all up every day. So just don't do that. You know, you go on Pinterest and you see moms and they're making their homemade soup and they're making these cute little reindeer treats and all this. And I was never that way. I was always just glad that I could take a shower and my kids stayed alive, okay? They didn't burn the house down while I was in the shower. So, you know, don't do that to yourself. So, a little six-year-old boy went to his mama. He said, Mom, why do bad guys always try to take over? And she said, well, they just want to be in charge and make all the rules. And the little boy said, why don't they just become moms? All right? Take charge and make all the rules. Moms have to be engaged. Moms have to thank God for moms. Okay? You know, nothing's really ever lost in the house unless mom can't find it. All right? Don't ask dad where something is. You got to have moms. Moms are hugely important. And motherhood is not for the faint of heart. It's tough. It's one of the hardest things you ever do and one of the best things you'll ever do, okay? So you got to be tough. Have you ever found yourself screaming at your kids saying, stop screaming! And here you are screaming at them, okay? I've done my share of that. So before I get started, a lot of you don't know my kids. I have three boys. I think there's a picture maybe of them. That's not a very good one. We were at the beach, but it's the quickest one I could find. So I have three sons, and the oldest one is in the white shirt there, but to that side, to your left. And I tell the other two they should kiss the ground I walk on, that they were allowed to be born, because number one was tough. He was hard, okay? He had colic, he was very strong-willed, and he was challenging, but he's the most awesome kid still just the life of the party. So we have three boys, and they all, there you go, that's better, Matthew, Jordan, and Drew, and they all born and raised in Murray, Kentucky, went to high school there, went to Murray State, and somehow all ended up in Cincinnati, Ohio. All three of them. Jobs took them there. So they're great men, they're great fathers, they're great husbands, and I have three awesome daughter-in-laws, too. There they are. They're sweet, sweet the girls I always wanted to have, and they are a blessing. We prayed for them, and God answered. So I'm really proud of my boys. I'll get to that later. I want to just give you a few characteristics. I know we're made in God's image. He tells us that. And so I was praying yesterday, just asking the Lord, you know, really trying to get before the Lord and get the mind of Christ. And this story is not one that I would have ever thought about for Mother's Day, but Holy Spirit just dropped it into my heart. So I'm like, okay, that's what I'm going to talk about. And it's the story of baby Moses. And he had a mom. He had a mother. Had an amazing mother. And I think there's some correlations between her and God, okay? I'll show you what I mean. So Moses' mother had a plan. Before we start, I'm going to read the scripture and then I'll pray. So it's in Exodus 1:15 through chapter 2, verse 10. Let's read it. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stools, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God. And they did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. And let the boys live. Aren't you glad? Praise God.
Yeah, that's a hand clap.
I'm thankful for mothers that choose life. All right, let's go on. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous, and they give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. Blessings. All right? There's blessings. Because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all the people. Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile River, but let every girl live. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds among the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went, got the baby's mother, of all people. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." Not only was it her baby, she's actually going to get paid now to take care of her own child. Ooh, that's a win-win right there. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. I said this earlier. If I got my child back, I'd have to really to give it back, okay? She kept her word. She gave him back. He became her son, and she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." You know, that was all set up and designed by God. All right? We'll talk about that in a minute. So, Moses' mother had a plan. We have a plan whenever we're getting ready to have a child. We prepare the room, we get the nursery, we take childbirth classes, and we get everything ready. You know, have you ever said this? Maybe before you had children? "Well, when I have kids. Okay, it's a whole lot easier to raise a non-existent hypothetical child than it is this little screaming baby in front of you. So we'll all make mistakes. Just know you will make mistakes. But God redeems our mistakes. He gives us grace, all right? Just don't repeat them, okay? A mistake repeated is a choice. Just learn and don't make the same mistakes. So Moses' mother had a plan, and she prepared a basket. It wasn't good enough, though, to just be the papyrus basket. Papyrus was a material that they used to make cloth and actually paper. A lot of their writing materials were made out of that. She went another step, because this is my baby. And she coated it with tar and pitch so that it would be safe for him in the river. So she had a plan. You know, God has plans. God has plans. He has plans to, everyone knows the verse, it's probably on your wall, Jeremiah 29:11. He has plans. God has plans for us. They're good plans. Plans to prosper us, not harm us, to give us a hope and a future. And also in Proverbs it says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. So she had a plan. She also had protection instinct in her to take care of her baby. So she hid him very strategically, not just anywhere, but she placed him where she knew someone would find him, where she knew he would be safe and someone would come along and find him. You know, moms, you've heard the term mama bear. Moms are protectors. And I found that a worried mom, she can do better research than the FBI, okay? I mean, moms, when they're looking out for their kids, you know, look out. They're going to protect them. So to ensure safety, another step of protection is that she put Big Sister there. She put Miriam, Moses' older sister, to hide where she could make sure, just one more step, make sure that baby was okay. So she was hiding from a place nearby. You know, God protects us. God protects us. He's our protector. 1 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. God is our protector. He watches over all who love him, it says in Psalms 145. Another attribute that she had is that she provided. She was able to get the child back and provide nourishment for her baby. She was able to, her own child, to get to nurse him. And as he grew older, she provided for him a life in the palace because she was obedient and kept her word. She let him go back to Pharaoh, and he grew up as a king's kid. Probably had quite a life in the palace. But you know, that was all part of God's plan. And God keeps his word. She kept her word. After she nursed him and he grew, she let him go back to Pharaoh's daughter. And God keeps his word. He tells us in Isaiah that his word will never return void, and it will accomplish what he sent it to do. So he does keep his word. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. God provides. One of my favorite verses is in Psalms 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So the birth of Moses and all of that, his escape from death and all the events of his youth, were all part of God's plan, because later he would be the one that would deliver the people from bondage. What if she had not defied what the king said? What if she had not chosen, I'm going to let this boy live? What if she had not devised a plan to hide him, a plan to protect him, a plan to let him go back to the palace and he grew up? What if she had not done that? Would we have had Moses? Would we have had someone to lead the people to freedom and out of Egypt? So thank God. So today I just want to remind you that you are affecting generations to come. All right? You're not just the here and the now in the trenches and changing diapers and making school lunches. And, you know, I remember I fixed my boys' lunch every day. And my third son was born quite a bit later than the other two. And while I was in the hospital with the third child, when Eric comes to pick me up, he said, "Just so you know, those two boys have been fixing their own lunch and they can do it just fine. You don't need to do it anymore." I'm like, oh. But my greatest, you know, God has a plan. He protects and He provides. But the greatest thing I can tell you as a mom, and I learned it from my mom, is to be a woman of prayer. The greatest thing I remember about my mom is that she prayed. I'd get off the school bus, little kid running the house, and I'd hear my mom in the bedroom praying. My little sister, she used to get so irritated at that. Kids would want her to go out and play, and she's like, "I got to ask my mom first, and I can't bother her right now because she's praying." Because you didn't disturb my mom when she prayed. So she wasn't perfect. My mom wasn't perfect, but she knew how to pray. And I'm telling you, women, pray every day for your kids. Because if you don't, probably no one is. Maybe a grandma. Pray every day for your kids. My kids, they're great. Funny. Perfect timing there. My kids are amazing men. And people ask us all the time. I had a coworker this week ask me, "What's it like to have men like that?" My boys, they're very successful. They're great dads, great husbands. They're very successful in their careers. But you know, I'm more proud of who they are than what they do. Okay? As he taught us last week, when you say, "I'm an accountant," well, that's what you do. Who are you? Okay? But, I mean, my goodness, we were 20, in our 20s, when we were raising our first kid. We didn't know what we were doing. We had no clue what we were doing. But what we did know is we have to keep these kids before God. We have to keep them in God's presence. We have to keep them around people of God. So we kept them in church. It wasn't an option. My kids never asked, "Are we going to church today?" It was like, "It's church time, we're going." Not that going to church saves you, but it keeps them in the atmosphere of God's presence, God's people, and pray. We started praying for their spouses when they were born. Pray, women, I'm telling you, pray. Maybe you feel like you've messed up and it's too late, or, you know, "Well, my kids are, you know, going down the wrong path." Pray. You have faith to believe God can turn it around? He can. He can. So, that's my biggest encouragement to you today, is you won't get it all right, but God can use you, and God will use you. So, God bless all of you. So now you're blessed to hear from Carla. I love this woman. Known her for years. Actually, I knew her before she married Jason, however long that's been. She's just a dear friend, but she's such a good mom. If you know her two girls, you just know she's a good mom. But she's not just a mom to Ella and Emma. She is a mom to our youth. She loves them. She helps them. She prays for them. So she's just a lot of wisdom here. I love this woman.
Okay, well, this morning I came into the 8 o'clock service and I had a blank piece of paper, literally a blank piece of paper. Last night I was like, "Lord, if you don't give me something, I'm just not going to do this. I don't want to do this and go up there with nothing." But during the service, I had 3 thoughts in my head, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit just led me as to what to say. And so it felt like he was teaching me the thing he was trying to tell me to tell you, just reminding me about trusting the Holy Spirit. My mom and my mother-in-law, they are wonderful mothers, wonderful, powerful women. They pray over us. They are wise when I go to them for advice. When I see them go through trials, they keep their mouth shut and they stand in faith. I couldn't ask for better mothers. And I wanted to be a mother so badly. I just wanted to be a mom so badly. In the first 7 years of our marriage, we didn't have children. And I wanted one so badly. My children are a miracle, and I can tell you that another time. But immediately when I became a mother, I felt this purpose and this calling that I had never felt before. An overwhelming change happened inside of me at this miracle. And I became much bolder, and I felt this calling was so strong on me that it just filled me with so much joy to know that God was going to use me in this way. I love being a mom. I even love, like, when they call me Mama Kay on occasionally. I'm not their moms, but there's just that little, like, let me in just a little bit into their lives. And I'm talking about the youth. And it's such an honor to be able to do that. The thing about being a mom is, immediately when your baby is born, you begin to anticipate the needs of the child, right? And you begin to feel their pain, and you feel their joys, and you feel them probably more deeply than they even feel them, you know? And so, have you ever noticed that when a mom is feeding her infant, what does she do? She brings the spoon to their mouth, but what does she do herself? Does anybody know? Yeah, everybody says opens their mouth. You open your mouth. And so I thought, is that a mom teaching her baby to eat? So I wondered about that, and I Googled it. So there's actually an experiment they did on 1,000 moms. And what it showed was the vast majority of moms were opening their mouth after the baby was concentrating on the food and already beginning to eat. So what was that mom doing? She wasn't teaching the baby how to eat. She was actually experiencing it with her child. Just like when you see a dance mom or a cheer mom in the sideline, what are they doing? They're like, I won't even try that. But it's funny to watch, right? If your child is performing or something, like in a play, and you know the song, it's, you know, my daughter received a scholarship or an award at her graduation, and my mom was sitting next to me, and she goes, woo! And it was so loud. But she experienced that joy so much on behalf of my daughter that she did that. So what happens when our children are experiencing pain? Our automatic thing is to want to remove that pain from their life, you know? And the burden for our child, that's naturally given to us. God wants us to come to Him on their behalf. That is our job. He is so faithful. When we do our job, His job is so much bigger than our job, and He does it so well. Our job is really to just give it to Him. So there's many times when my children have been going through something hard and I could not sleep, and I would be pacing the living room floor, and then I would feel that moment when I knew that God took care of it. Matter of fact, I had a habit of going into my kids' rooms at night, every night, to pray for them when they go to bed. And Ella is a very light sleeper, and when I would go in, she would sometimes scream. Like, you know, I would, in the dark, touch her foot. But especially when they were going through a hard time, I just couldn't sleep. I don't know about you moms, but I just could not sleep until I knew that God was going to take care of it. And I have found that He is so faithful. I will give you a little piece of advice of raising teenagers, only because I've not done it perfectly, but because I have been through, if you come to this time, when you feel your teenager is pulling away from you, and you feel like there's a barrier between you, you need to make an intentional and purposeful time that you guys can be together. Whether that is saying we're going out to eat and it's just the two of you and you have very captive in the restaurant. Whatever it is, make it a plan for it. Kids don't know that they want that, but they do. They need it. And God has put that in our hearts. We need to know when they need it. And you will know it because you'll feel the pain of separation between you and your child. See, God has prepared us in every way. He's given us that desire to pray for them. He's let us know them better than sometimes they know themselves. Finally, one night, I was asleep in bed, and my daughter, my oldest daughter, she has really straight hair. She doesn't need a straightening iron. She's only ever used one probably twice in her life. She's about 12 or 13 years old. I was going to sleep in bed downstairs, and I began to like think about her curling iron, her hot iron. Why in the world was I thinking about it? And I just had this urgency. I jumped out of my bed. I ran upstairs, and it's a dark house. Everybody's been in bed for a while. And there on her dresser is her hot iron, and it's glowing in the dark. It's been on since that morning. And I know that God saved her life that day. I know that His Holy Spirit speaks to us. And when you feel, as a mom, you feel that God is telling you something, you need to listen to Him. I mean, He is there for us. He has prepared us. When He called you to be a mom, He didn't leave you without the tools to do it. He did not leave you alone. And He will do His part. Treva was talking about the mother of Moses and how she had to put him in that little papyrus basket. Well, it made me think about Hannah, who had prayed so hard for her child, and then she went back and gave him the cup. And I think about the mother of Jesus, who watched Him as He was tortured. Everyone, all these mothers in the Bible, they knew that God had a plan for their child. And at some point, they had to place their child in God's hands. And there's no better place for your child to be than in God's hands. So just trust Him. That's what I want to say. God is bigger. He's bigger than us. And He does the bigger part. So He's prepared you to be a mom.
Not through. Treva gives me such a hard way to go on Mother's Day because I always wanted to speak that I thought, well, just in case it comes down to the last moment, I better have something prepared. So I was asking the Lord, and the Lord gave me a prophetic word for you today, and so you'll discover it as we go on. But there's definitely a prophetic part of this word for you, and so we're speaking. It is Mother's Day, but this is by, for sure, not just for mothers. On this day, I know that there are people that are not as happy as others. So we talk like everybody has a wonderful mother, and that's just not true. There are some people that were abandoned by their mother, and that's a scar that will hurt for a long, long time until the Lord touches it. There are ladies in this audience right now that desire so much to be a mom, and it just has not provided itself yet. And so we never want to make your pain greater. We want you to receive help and strength from the Lord today. Wherever you're at, whatever your circumstances are, I want you to know He is in control, right? And so don't lose hope that God is able. God is able. Amen. Not only is He able, He's willing. God is able, God is willing. I titled this, Make Room for God to Move. In 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 8 through 10, then I'm skipping down to verse 18, and we'll read for a second. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, an influential woman. She persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. So she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall. Let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand, so it will be wherever he comes to us, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." Verse 18 then. Where is verse 18? It says, "And the child grew, Now, it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, "My head, my head." So he said to the servant, "Carry him home to his mother." Isn't that just like daddies? You got a boo-boo? Go to mama. Right. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men, one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It's neither the new moon or the Sabbath." She said, "It is well." Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?'" She answered, "It is well." Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. She didn't hug his neck. She didn't shake his hand. She ran to him and she fell at his feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Leave her alone. Her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." So she said, "Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get up, get yourself ready. Take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives, and as my soul, as your soul lives, I'll not leave you." So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of him. A thought just occurred to me. We're talking about Elisha. "I'm not leaving you." You remember Elisha said that? When Elijah was talking to Elisha, he said, "What do you ask? You know, you've been so faithful. The Lord's going to give you something. What do you ask?" He said, "I want double what you got." And Elijah said, "Don't leave me then. You have to be with me when I get out of here." And he went through four different towns with Elisha, but he did not leave. I don't know if this woman knew that story or not, but she was so resolute. She said, "I'm not leaving." So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him, and he told him, "The child has not awakened." Then Elisha came into the house where the young child was lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and laid on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out. The child sneezed seven times and the child opened his eyes. He called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in, fell at his feet. Sorry. So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son. Father God, we come before you so thankful for your word. I'm thankful that there's power in your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you sent it to accomplish a purpose, and it will accomplish a purpose. God, we are here celebrating such a wonderful gift of mothers. But I feel you want to do so much more. I ask God that the Spirit of God would be dispensed to every person today. Take this word and birth it in our heart, God. Let it explode in us, God, as we realize that we serve a God that there is nothing impossible for Him. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, for You are my rock and my redeemer, the God in whom I love. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, I recognize something. The most dangerous place in America today is the womb. More babies are aborted than I think people are killed. So God bless you. You know, I know, I'm smart enough to know that not every child is born under good circumstances. Children come sometimes at the worst possible time, right? When you are trying to get your life together and everything seems to be disorderly. But thank you. I remember when we had our third child, I had had a vasectomy. We had finished having children, bless God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And so I had this vasectomy, and a few months later, Treva's, we're laying in bed on a Christmas, and she said, this sounds really personal, I'm sorry. She said, the time of women has not come upon me. She didn't say it that way. I'll give you that mic. You had a chance to have that mic. You chose to be nice. She said, I didn't start. And she said, I think it's just the stress of Christmas. I said, it is not the stress of Christmas. You are more regular than the clock. You're pregnant, you know, and so I'm thinking, oh dear God, here we go again, right? And we were blessed with our third son, who we thought for sure, if God was going to give us another baby, it had to be a little girl. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But we went in, and at that point, at first couple of children, they didn't do this, but they did some ultrasound or doing some amniocentesis, wasn't it? They were going to do. And I said, well, what's that for? And they said, well, we can look into the womb, basically, and examine the child and see if there's anything wrong. And I said, you mean you can fix things in the womb? Oh, no, we can't fix it, but we can tell you if it's wrong, and you can determine whether you want to continue the pregnancy. I said, there is no reason to take that test. I said, I don't care if it's wrong or right, and he's pretty wrong. We will have that child, right? And so we celebrate motherhood. We celebrate children. And I want to say, like Treva said, your influence is far greater than what you can see right at the moment. See, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You know what that means? God is a generational God. So when God looks down on you, He doesn't just see what you are doing with those couple little kids that you got. He's seeing generations to come. He knows what He's getting ready to bring to the earth. One of the reasons abortion is so terrible is because we are destroying what God is planning for our future. Amen? Motherhood is very difficult. Same with fatherhood. Proverbs 31, usually on Mother's Day, we talk about Proverbs 31, and we read about this incredible woman that has every gift known to woman, right? She has got her act together, and you read that, and we study that, and we think, oh boy, did I come up short, right? We focus on our shortcomings. I just want to say, nobody has it all. Nobody's got it all. Use what God has placed in you, and God will add to what you're doing. It's amazing to us. You know, when our sons were growing up, we saw them making friends with people. And my oldest son made friends with a guy that he played basketball with. just so happened his dad was a chemistry teacher, and God brought him right into that family because he was a chemistry major, which pre-med and became a doctor. But God sort of spoon-fed. Do you understand that? We couldn't do that, but God did that. And that we watched that with every son. You know, when God was just, he was just making the path. It's amazing how God was just bringing things. It wasn't us. We're not that smart. We wasn't strategically trying to do something. We just wanted kids healthy. But God had a path for them. And where we were short, God brought him in, whatever they needed. So there was this lady. I want you to notice something. This lady honored the man of God. You know, it's a quality that we are losing on earth today, is one of honor. Folks, teach your children to give honor, to honor people. This woman honored this man. You realize that was the woman's idea. It wasn't the man's idea. She went to her husband and said, "That's a man of God. And he's coming through regularly. And I want to have him a place to stay. I want him to have a place that he can call his own. And we are well enough off that we can build him that. Will you build him a room on the wall?" And he agrees to it. So they built the man of God. And he had a place. He didn't have to ask. When he came into that town, he knew where he could stay. And one day he comes by and he saw this lady and never gives us her name. Just the Shunammite lady. And he says, "What do you need? I want to do something for you. I want to see God repay you back." And she said, "I don't need anything." Gehazi, the servant, spoke up and said, "She don't have a son. They don't have anyone to pass on to their inheritance." And he said, he looked at her and he said, "This time next year you'll have a son." And she said, "Don't play with me." That's Kelleher revision. "Don't you play with me. Don't you tell me something just because you want to make me feel good." A year goes by and she's got a baby. That baby boy grows up. He's working in the fields. He's not 17. He's probably 10. Get your kids working early. Kids are born lazy. Teach them to work. If I had a message to give to America, I'd give that message. Amen. Teach your kids to go to work. Ain't nothing free in life. That kid goes out to the field to help his daddy. And all of a sudden, something happens to the head. Could be a heat stroke, aneurysm, something happened. Daddy said, "Get that baby to mama." And they carry that to the mama. She holds him on her lap until he dies. I can't think of anything worse than that. When that baby dies, she carries him not to her bedroom, but to his bedroom. "Let's get that boy up to that bed." And she said, "Now go get me a donkey." I don't know why I always say it that way, donkey. "I've got to go see the man of God." She's going to see the man of God, and he recognizes her way off, and he tells his servant Gehazi, "Go see what she wants. Go see what she needs. Ask her these questions. Is your husband okay? Are you okay? Is the boy okay?" Her answer, "It is well." There are times in your life when all hell breaks loose. The most important time of your life to control your tongue is when everything goes wrong. That's the time that most of us lose it. And most of us start speaking doubt, fear, and unbelief. And we just start, "Oh my God, oh my God, it's real Paul." She didn't do that. This woman had it under control. Now on the inside, I know people. On the inside, she probably was falling apart. But her lips were only speaking faith. "It is well." It may not be well right this moment, but it is well. Why? Because I'm going to the man of God. That day was a bit different than this day. You go directly. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that? She goes, she doesn't kiss his ring finger. Isn't that nonsense? She falls at his feet. And Elisha says, Gehazi is getting ready to get her out of the way. He said, leave her alone. Her heart's in deep distress and God has not shared that with me. He's curious what's going on. She tells him about the child. And he gives his staff to Gehazi and says, go lay it on the boy. Mama, go ahead and go. Just follow Gehazi. And go on there. And she said, I ain't leaving you. I grew up Pentecostal. And we used to have sayings in the church that we don't say much anymore. We used to say stuff that most of us didn't even know what we were talking about, but we had heard it, so we said it again. When those days like that come, you get to the altar and you lay your hands on the horn of the altar and don't let go till God touches. There was a time in Treva's family when her little brother was getting ready to make a colossal mistake. Everybody in the family knew it. Brother Reagan told me, his name was Dallas. Dallas told me, he said, I went to the church to pray. And I determined in myself that I would not leave that church until God answered. He was there for 3 hours. He told me he was just pacing, praying. And he said, all of a sudden, something broke in his spirit. And he knew, it's over. We've won the battle, right? And sure enough, that's exactly the way it happened. Treve and I went to bed one night. Good friend of ours, Dad, had had open heart surgery, and we had prayed that night for him. And neither one of us knew the other one was awake. But somewhere in the middle of the night, we woke up. Treve was praying, I was praying. Neither one, we both thought the other one was asleep. But we were praying until something stopped. Something broke in our spirit, and we knew that he was going to be okay. I told Treva what happened to me the next morning. I said, about 2:30, I said, I felt in my spirit, he's okay. She said, I was awake too and had the very same experience. My mother was in bed. Now, my mother was a godly woman. I would describe her like this. She was a godly woman with a godly temper. You don't want to cross that woman. But she was laying in bed one night. And my brother went to college in Springfield, Missouri, and he was coming home that night. He had my uncle in the car with him and a friend that was in the car also. And we didn't know it, but he fell asleep at the wheel. And Mom felt something in her spirit, got up at midnight, and she said, I got up and I rolled out of bed and I fell on my knees before God. She said, I've been getting to cry out. And she said, God saved my brother. He said he was sound asleep and he heard this horn. Oh, oh. He said, I opened my eyes just moments before. And he said, there was an 18-wheeler and I was in his lane. He said, I had to take the ditch to keep him from hitting me. Three college-age boys, sat in that car and bawled like babies. That's how close it came. Oh, for a mother that knew how to pray. You see what I'm saying? You are so influential. Most of us are saved today because a mama or a grandma prayed. So this woman, you know the story, Elisha gets there and he lays on that boy face to face. I think it's one. And all of a sudden, he's cold, guys. He'd been dead for a while. All of a sudden, he begins to feel the warmth of that body come back in. He's laying there looking that kid eye to eye. And all of a sudden, that kid was, like most kids, sneezed right in his face. 7 times. Then his eyes open. I'm sure when his eyes open, he's looking the man of God right there. That had to be a bit scary. I love that story. Man, I've preached that story many times. But that story don't stop there. I didn't realize it. But the Lord showed me, go a few more chapters over. So I was reading in 2 Kings. I got to chapter 8. And I realized that same man of God told that same woman, he said, you need to get out of Dodge. He said, there's a famine coming, because I've called it. He said, there's a famine coming, and it's not going to go well with you here. Go. She left. Well, she was gone for 7 years. But when she come back home, this affluent woman, obviously her husband is dead by this time, because it just talks about her and the boy. All of her property is gone. She doesn't own it anymore. So it's been gone. She don't own her house. She doesn't own her property. How can you make a living if you don't have land when you're living in an agricultural society? So she decides to go to the king. Hallelujah. When life gets tough, go to the king. You hear me? There are times in your life when no one else will do, you appeal to the king. She went to the king, and only God could set this one up. She walks into the king, gets ready, and he has to hold the scepter out. Of course, doesn't say all that. But inside there, Gehazi, the servant of God, is in with the king. And the king is saying, tell me of the miracles that Elisha did. And he is telling him the story of the Shunammite woman when Elisha brought her son back to life. She knocks on the door. She somehow gets into the throne room. And Elisha said, there she is! That's her and her boy! Hallelujah. He says, did this really happen that way? Absolutely, just like he said. He said, what you here for? She said, I've been gone for 7 years and they sold my property. My house is gone. My farm is gone. And he said, today, everything is restored to you. Not only what you own, but the produce that has been grown on your fields for the last 7 years comes back to you today. Only God can redeem us. I'm telling you, I know prophetically, I'm speaking to people that have suffered loss. And you can lay down and act like, oh, it's past, it's gone, I've lost it, I'm so... Dry it up, sister. And let's go to the king. Because only the king can restore what the enemy steals. Satan's a thief. He come to steal. He came to kill. And he came to destroy. And he's going to start with the body of Christ. But God is a God of restoration. There's a story in the New Testament, again, another mama. We call her we don't know her name. She's a Syrophoenician, I think, Phoenician woman. She's not Jewish. She goes before Jesus. She's trying to talk to him, and he's ignoring her. Won't even give her the time of day. She talks, he's not even listening. She finally gets through and she says, my daughter is demon possessed. I think it was a daughter. My daughter is demon possessed. And you, you can heal her. He said, it ain't right to take the bread of the children and throw it to the dogs. Folks, you cannot read that verse and not see the insult of that verse. He is pushing this woman. He is not. Our mind says he's pushing her away. No, he's pushing her towards faith. most of us would have got insulted. Well, if you're going to be that way. But she didn't. She said, yes, Lord. Now, what he meant is I came for the house of Israel. My message is to the Jew, not to the rest of the world. My message is very specific to the house of Israel. She was not Jewish. She said, yes, Lord. But even those little dogs under the table eat the crumbs that fall from the table. In other words, there's so much food on this table. All I need is a crumb. Oh, when we ever see the majesty and the power and the abundance of our God, we just need a crumb. Jesus quotes two different times about two different people. Neither one was Jewish. He marveled at their faith. This is one of them. He said, daughter, you go home because your daughter is healed. Why? Because your faith. Such faith. I believe that I heard from the Lord. And the word of the Lord is this: don't you give up. When the rest of the world says it's time to give up, people of God says, no, it's the time to dig in. I don't know what's going on in your life that you think's impossible. But I know what the word says. All things are possible to God. He says it twice. All things are possible to God, but all things are possible to him who believes. I'm a believer. Are you a believer? You believe God can redeem your mistakes? You say, Pastor, you don't understand. I did this myself. Haven't we done all most of my life? All the screw ups are mine. I own them. You know, that doesn't matter to God. If God only healed us of the things that he gave us, he would not be very busy. God heals us from the things that we have done to ourselves. God redeems us from the mistakes that we have made. When we put our nose up at God and said, I'm going to do it my way. And maybe now you're paying the price for doing it your way. I want you to know God will redeem that. You hear me? I want your spirit to hear me. I don't want your head to hear me. I want your spirit to hear me today. God can redeem the mistakes that you are okay with living with. You hear that? But you're going to have to go to the king. You got to go to the king. Would you stand with me? We're not going to keep you all day. I know it's lunchtime. My belly's telling me to. But if you want prayer, I want you to know this altar is open. We may not lay hands on every one of you, but if you said, my spirit exploded today. Something went off in me. And I need to go to the king. I'm just going to say one more thing. There's more than natural mamas. There are spiritual mamas. Today you heard from two spiritual mamas. And you heard the third sermon from a spiritual dad. We were in service this weekend. Or this Monday and Tuesday. One of the people from this church texted me and then called me. And I told Treva, I said, I got to step out. I got to take this phone call. She said, no, take it later. I said, no, I've got to take this phone call. Something's going on. This boy wouldn't call me if it wasn't urgent. Went and got on the phone with this young man. He's distraught. And he touched my heart. And I prayed for him like I would have prayed for my three sons. I hit the altar and I cried out to God. And the story is not told yet. But I just tell you that to tell you this. You have spiritual parents in this church that will reach heaven for you. It's not just Treva and I. There are many people in this church that will go to the altar for you. The world tells you, you just need to man it up and do this thing on your own. That's not true. You don't have to go through life by yourself when you're in this church, because there's people that love you and there's people that go to the mat for you. We don't need to isolate ourselves. We need to cling to each other. But you got to humble yourself. You got to say, I need somebody that will pray for me. If you're here and that's you, get to this altar. We're not going to, I don't delay these things. I want to pray for you. Enough said. Sing it, Treva.
You are here, moving in our midst, and I worship you.
Deacons and elders, you're not done.
I worship you.
Deacons and elders, come on.
You are here, working in this place.
Also, if you see somebody down here that you said, man, I just feel like I need to pray for that one, you get on down here. You don't have to be a deacon or an elder. Maybe God's birthing something in your heart for one of these. Come on down. Pray for these folks.
Promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yes, you are. You are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart, and I worship you. I worship you. Yes, you are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And you are here, turning lives around. I worship you. We worship you, Lord. I worship you. And you are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. We worship you, God. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yes, you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, hallelujah. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, hallelujah. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Oh, he's my God. That is who you are. Oh, yes, you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is, oh, we worship you. We worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker. Oh yes. Light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, he keeps his promises. He does. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the dark. Oh, shine your light. That is who you are. Oh, shine your light in the darkness, Lord. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. It's who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, oh Jesus. Oh, that's who you are. Praise you, Lord. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are. Oh, yes. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Hallelujah. Amen. Treva, come here and stand with me.